Expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Gathering Radio Show here on the Para-X Radio Network. And this is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie, and boy, this is the first day of December 2020. How about that, Heidi?
Last month, clicking it down.
I know.
Here we go. Well,
the holidays are upon us. Oh my gosh.
Hopefully it'll be a festive and safe holiday for everybody. Season, whatever you celebrate. There's all sorts of good stuff happening this month, but it's kind of, it feels good, I think, just to think that even if 2021 doesn't start out much different than 2020. There's a lot of hope behind it, you know, because there's a lot more months. So it feels kind of good to just let 2020 go.
Yes, for sure. And I think, you know, because it's been such a hard year and people aren't getting together, you know, I'm even going to put lights on my tree out front, which I haven't done for years. But I just think we need to do things that just make us feel good. You know what I mean? And if that's what it means, and it means, you know, taking more hot baths and lounging in the tub for a while, that's what we need to do. We need to take care of ourselves. And that can be our gifts to ourselves, you know, instead of the big everybody pushes to get everybody gifts. You know, you and I were just talking about this, you know. This year, let's just kind of focus on us, maybe. You know, that's what we need to do because it's been such an awful year. We need to heal.
Right. And I mean, I don't mind, like, I like to get a little something for friends or whatever, close friends and things. And especially, you know, folks that are, if they live by themselves or something, you know, you don't want to just, you know, you will reach out and see how people are doing and whatever. But yeah, I want to do a little outdoor decorating this year. We've got a huge row of pine trees on the back property. And they're not, I mean, the trees themselves aren't that big, so they'd be easy to decorate.
Yeah.
And so I want to get a little something going on back there of just different colored trees, you know, lights in the trees and stuff. I thought it'd be kind of fun.
You know, it's always fun. And we used to always put lights on the pine tree out front, and it's gotten so big the last few years. You know, I was just thinking, wow, how many strings of lights am I going to have to buy? Because I want to get the LED ones, you know, because they take a whole lot less energy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's really gotten
well. Then the problem gets when the trees get tall. It's like, how do you get up there?
Well, you have you have one of those.
Oh, you have one of those pole things.
I don't. My sister does. So I'll borrow.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
But you just kind of, and then you just, you don't have to be perfect because they all look good. And you know, here's my hint for doing that is do it at night because then you can see what it looks like as you're putting them up.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Day, you don't know. You know,
it's a total gamble when you do it during the day. You turn them on at night and you go, oh man.
That's not good.
Bad.
Yeah. No. So yeah. So I'm hopeful maybe this weekend we can get that done too. You know, but that'll be fun and get some lights out maybe on the back. I thought maybe on the fence we'd throw some lights in the deck and, you know, just be kind of fun just for us, you know?
I brought a little tree out to the shaman shed out back. Mm-hmm. Got a little Christmas tree out there and little fake one and little fire.
I didn't light it up tonight. Oh my gosh, I got the other lights on, but I didn't light that one up. But it'll be fun. And do you have your tree up yet? We did buy a tree. We got a huge big tree this year.
We don't have a tree yet. So
we haven't put it up yet. I'm thinking this weekend. So, but yeah, it was fun. It was fun to get, you know, what was fun was we went on Saturday and it was so warm out. It was like 50 above up here and beautiful weather. And we went to this tree lot where we always go, and they moved the tree lot, so we had to, you know, kind of find where it was, which was easy anyway. It was just on Highway 10. But there were so many people there looking, and they had Christmas music going, and it was like the movies. I felt like I was in a movie. You know, it was the funnest thing, actually. So, nice. And yeah, and the tree we ended up with, we didn't get it there, but we went to a different place, and I like the kind that aren't perfect. You know, I'm not a perfect tree girl. And so I found one, and it's a balsam fir. It's a balsam this year. We should get a Fraser, but, and it's just a little bit different shape. You know, I don't know if they cut it or if that's the way it grew. I don't know, but it's super tall. And it's just going to be fabulous. Last year,
super tall. How's it going to fit in your living room?
Well, it's not super tall, but it's, you know, a good seven
up
or eight
to the ceiling.
Yeah, it's a good seven or eight. But we have like 9 feet ceilings up there. But last year, it was Casey's turn to pick, and she went. We didn't go till so late. It was like a week before Christmas. I don't know where time. You know, it was one of those years, and we went to the tree lot, and they hardly had any trees. And then Casey found this tree that was like a true Charlie Brown Christmas tree. I mean, it hardly had any branches. And she said, let's get that one. And they're like, are you serious? And she's like, yep, let's just get it. It was like, I don't know, $10 or something.
Aww.
But it was the cutest tree.
Poor little tree.
I know. Casey said, well, it deserves a chance to shine too, Mama. And I'm like, you're right. So that was our tree. And she was just gorgeous, you know. But anyway.
Yeah, once you get all the stuff on them, they're good.
Yes.
Doesn't matter.
Yes. Yes. So this weekend, for sure, I think we'll put it up.
Yeah, but I did start decorating. I just haven't gotten the tree part going yet. So,
yeah.
But that'll happen. Got some
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. I think they're running Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on TV tonight. It's probably right now when we're talking. Where did
Get
I see
your
that?
DVR set. Don't leave the gathering.
Oh, because, you know, we have to watch Rudolph. Oh, my
right?
goodness.
Just set your DVR so you can watch it later.
Exactly. So here we go. So it's our last paranormal smorgasbord of the year.
Yeah. Last paranormal smorgasbord for 2020. We started it this year too. This is our first year doing it. When did we start it? Earlier this year?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it springish?
Yep.
So this is our last one for 2020. Yep. And we've gotten some good topics off of this paranormal smorgasbord. Actually, our next two topics, right, Steph, our next 2 weeks came from Paranormal Smorgasbord.
They did. Yes. Yes.
The so topics. Gonna, so we're going to turn two shows out of those topics.
Yeah. So it's going to, you know, that's going to be really fun. But yeah, so for the Paranormal Smorgasbord, so I just kind of, because it's the holiday season, I just kind of looked up paranormal holiday season. And of course, you know, this one of the things it talked about was, you know, December 5th is all about Krampus, you know, the goat-like creature.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's coming up. So that's on, what's that, Friday? Saturday. Saturday is the, you know, that's when Krampus comes out, right? So, but yeah, but it talked about that. And it talked about, of course, flying reindeer. You know, do you believe reindeer fly? I do. I believe they're immortal. I also believe they're girls.
Well, that's what they say, because they don't lose their antlers, right?
Mm-hmm. So Rudolph was really a girl, you know?
That makes sense, that the gender thing got screwed up. But I would think that they don't actually fly, but something flies, like a different kind of elemental, right?
Yeah.
Because why does it have to be reindeer? Maybe we made it reindeer over time just to make it, you know, more of a fairy tale. But really, what if it's a different kind of elemental that flies?
Yeah, we really don't know, but we love the idea of reindeer anyway. But it also talked about Santa, and I guess I didn't know this. I don't think we've talked about this on the show, because we have talked about a lot of this stuff on the show at the holidays. But you know, this description of Santa, and I'll just read it. It said, this immortal elfin being has the power to manipulate time and space, and leads a cadre of other elf minions who watch children and visit them while they sleep. An amalgam of the 4th century Greek Christian Saint Nicholas of Myra and the Norse god Odin. Okay, I have never heard that he's a combination of the Norse god Odin and Saint Nicholas. Have you?
No.
That's very interesting. But then it goes on to say that he's a jolly home invader who can slip down chimneys and give gifts to the nice you know, and his existence.
Home invader.
Yeah. Yeah. And his existence.
That's true.
I know. And his existence is supported by the Native or the North American Aerospace Defense Command, NORAD, which has tracked his journey on radar since 1955.
That I've seen. Yep.
Yep. Yep. I mean, every Christmas.
That's always
Eve.
Cool.
Yeah. So I thought that was good. And so then and I talked about.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, didn't the current St. Nicholas look come from Coca-Cola?
Yeah. Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Like, he didn't look like that until Coca-Cola commercialized him through their advertisements. And that's more of like the standard of what we think he looks like now. Or how, what do you think he looks like? It's how we, you know, interpret him, I think.
Well, and I think a lot of like, you know, back in the day, they kind of pictured him more as like in flowing robes, really, right? So, I don't know, but I don't really picture Odin in flowing robes either, though. Odin was kind of the warrior guy, right? He was the Viking, you know. I don't know, but well, Odin, I would not have, I would not have thought Odin, you know, of all gods with St. Nicholas. But, yeah, it's all good. It's all good. We like it. And then I talked about also, so, you know, Rudolph is on tonight.
Apparently it was. Over.
Yeah. It's over. Yeah. And then they talked about Bumble, you know, and I always say Bumble is just a Yeti, you know, but, you know, they say that, of course, he is the Yeti-like creature who is the abominable snow monster of the North, and he has the ability to bounce, but is prone to sinking.
Poor dude.
Oh, my gosh. And it can be domestic if you remove all of his teeth, you know. So then he's no longer mean or whatever.
And that sounds cruel and unusual.
Yeah. Like punishment,
you know what I mean?
No kidding. Oh,
that's
like
declawing a cat. He's like, what are you doing? That's not right. I don't know.
Kidding.
Take all his teeth out. Seriously.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. But anyway, I thought that was fun. You know, they just those fun little things. But the Odin thing really threw me for a loop. I'm like, really? Odin?
Okay. I'll go with it. Why
me
not?
Too. Me too.
You know, it would be cool if, you know, we could get a few visuals of the Yeti or the Bumble or the Sasquatch or whatever around the holidays. Mm-hmm. Like, that would be kind of cool. If that would be, I don't know if there's any kind of study out there that says when they're more active, like what time of year, but wouldn't it be cool if they were out more around the holidays?
Yeah.
Then it may, I don't know.
Well,
they might
be
a Christmas cryptid.
Well, you know, we always like to squatch in the wintertime, Heidi. I'm just saying.
No.
You know,
we got to go out up here by my place now, up by the Sherbourne National Forest. It's crazy out there.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I've heard. Remember, that was on my list of to-dos, and we just haven't gotten into it yet. So, yes,
that's
we
like
do.
10 minutes away.
Yep. So you just, you arrange it. I'll be there. I even got snowshoes on Black Friday. So I am ready to rock and roll.
Ready
I don't
to
know
squatch.
If I'm going to Yeah, don't know if I'll be able to wear that, but, you know, we'll figure it out. So, but anyway, yeah, I'm all set because, you know, Cindy's idea was to go on a certain lake in the middle of winter and snowshoe around it to look for squatch. And I think that's a great idea. So got them on sale on Black Friday. And so we are ready to rock.
Dave said the Sasquatch go south for the winter. And then Rain said, don't you think they'd be hibernating, at least in the northern hemisphere? Well, I don't know. I don't think so. Because I don't think they're here all the time. I think they, since they're interdimensional, they don't need to hibernate, do they?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. No, I don't think they hibernate. But, you know, we have heard stories like up at the north, in the north woods up the border.
Were you
going to
say the North Pole?
The North Pole is on that list too. But we have heard stories about how they see them at certain, you know, always at certain times of year, like in the springtime, they always would see them in the spring and in the fall. So doesn't that kind of make you think maybe they do really kind of migrate?
Maybe they come
south in the winter and north in the summer.
Or they just go somewhere else altogether
off
Earth.
Yeah. We just don't know.
Or they go to the southern hemisphere when it's summer.
Well, they have them down there too. Yeah. So,
you know, so when it's our winter, well, and I know it's not winter in the southern part of the states. Oh, it gets cold. I shouldn't say it's not winter. Of course it's winter, but it doesn't get as cold. But still, maybe they go to the southern hemisphere.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we have our colder time, maybe they go there. So maybe they do. They go south for the winter, but they go really south.
Mm-hmm.
Far south. They go to Peru.
Peru. I don't know, but we find them. We find a lot of evidence of them here in the wintertime, so I'm not sure how far south they go, you know?
Yeah, I don't know, because with those stick structures last year,
the year
before, I mean, it's just, those were changing all the time, so.
Oh, yeah.
And if it's a squatch thing anyway, then I don't think they would go too far.
Well, I think they do all the time, and we found those prints. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff going on in the wintertime. A lot of stuff going on in the wintertime, I think. But yeah, well, that's the other thing that was in this paranormal Christmas holiday stuff is they talked about the North Pole. That's the other thing, right? You know, where is that? I got to find it. Because that made me, you know, it's the magical North Pole. And there really is a North Pole, right? I can't find it here now. But
it doesn't look like a red and white striped barber pole, though, I'm going to say.
No, here it is.
That's what they put in the photo, in pictures, like cartoons.
I know, that's right. And yeah, so they say he lives in a hidden landmass in the icy waters of the terrestrial North Pole and the Arctic Ocean, sort of like Atlantis, but with a toy workshop. It's also home to giant Hyperboreans of Greek myths. Oh, the exact location of Santa's home, however, isn't known, but a recent pop culture contribution suggests it's in close proximity to seven levels of a candy cane's forest. There is a sea of swirly twirly gumdrops, and apparently not far from the Lincoln Tunnel.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so.
So,
anyway.
If Santa's magical, though, why would he have to hide? Couldn't he make it just like invisible?
Cloak.
Also interdimensional. If he's going to every place in one night, he's got some skills. So. Yeah. You would think that he'd be able to pull off something besides a hidden, you know, factory under the snow.
Yes, I would think so. I don't think so. Yeah.
We've got some funny comments in the chat room here.
I know.
So Dave said, he goes,
he's still talking about Sasquatch.
He's still talking about stick structures and the Yeti going south. Yeah. So they have stick structure maintenance crews who take care of those over the winter. They might. We don't know. That's true.
Yeah, and you know, last time we were up north in October, there a lot of the stick structures, remember I talked about that area that we found that had a dozen or more stick structures, and they were craziness, and a wind came through and blew a lot of them down. So it'll be interesting now to go back up there and see if any of them are rebuilt, right? Because we filmed it all, so we have it all on film. So yeah, it'll be that'll be cool. You know, I'm kind of excited to go back up there, so... But anyway, yeah, it makes you wonder because a lot of the stick structures really do change in the wintertime.
Yeah, and that's what I think is interesting, you know, is to figure out what, you know, where they go, how far they go, do they stay pretty local? If they're interdimensional, why do they come here? You know, it's just, I don't know, it's interesting.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I don't know. It's cool. But it's cool anyway. But, yeah.
So Kat in the chat room, I'm scrolling back a little bit. She said there's a herd of reindeer who live along the highway in Coldwater, Michigan, or they used to. So is it a farm? Like, not a farm, but you know what I mean? A farm, yeah, I guess. Reindeer farm? Like, the reindeer live there? Or is it where they just live and it's, like, state land? Or is it protected land? Or, I don't know. I'm curious.
Well,
put comments like that in the chat room, and I want to ask some questions.
Well, me too, because I really thought reindeer were more of a much more northern, you know, latitude kind of creature. I don't really think
you don't think they could hang out
in Minnesota? Well, I think they could. I mean, I think there are people ranchers who have them, but, you know, that's really kind of the Scandinavian countries, right? I don't think people in the U.S. eat reindeer meat, do they? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. That's kind of a big thing in Norway, you know?
Yeah.
They have big reindeer herds that they eat, you know? So, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting, but I thought they were more northern latitudes, like Alaska, Yukon, that far north. Kat says she thinks that's private property. So maybe they just have a bunch of reindeer that they just love, you know?
Yeah. Like,
I mean, I think it would be
like
fun.
Some people have horses.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'd be fun. You know, they're much smaller than you think. You know, you seem to think
that's
they're
really big.
That's
what someone said in the chat room.
But they're not very big. Yeah. They're not really even as big as like a big buck that you'd see out in the woods up here. You know, they're kind of small.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that I've ever seen a reindeer before.
Yeah.
In person.
Yeah, yeah. They owls, they usually, I think they have some at the Como Zoo, actually, you know, that live there year-round, maybe.
Zoos.
Yeah, well, Como's not too bad anymore. Yeah, I don't really like zoos either, but Como isn't too bad anymore. It's kind of fun to go there. I haven't been there for a long time, but they used to have a couple of reindeer, and they were so cute. Oh, they were so cute, but they're small.
Karen said sort of like a large goat.
Yeah, they're not
a large
big.
Goat.
I think they're a little bit bigger than a large goat, but they're smaller than, like I said, the bucks in the Northwoods here in Minnesota, for sure. So not as big as you think. Kat says she's seen dogs bigger than reindeer. Yeah, some of them are small. Some of them are really small.
Seems weird. Why did they pick reindeer then to pull a Santa sleigh? Although, I guess if they're flying, they can be any size they want them to be.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, yeah, and if they're magical and, you know, immortal, I guess they can be large. I mean, they certainly look large in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, right? They look really big with Santa, and Santa's a big guy, right?
Yeah. So,
at least at the end of the show when Mama made him eat so much food, you know?
Oh, Santa.
Eat, Papa. Eat. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, reindeer are like mini moose, except for the neurotic polar bears. Yeah, how come polar bears don't pull Santa's sleigh, actually? You know? Don't know. Oh, here, Karen's got actual how big they are. So length, male is 5'9 to 7 feet, and 400 pounds for an adult male, and 260, up to 260. So, well, they're actually pretty big, but they don't seem that big. Kat says now she's thinking of Cheech and Chong's explanation of Santa and reindeer. I guess I don't know what that is. Karen's saying they can't fly. But you know what, Karen? If they are magical, I mean, if they're, you know, immortal and, you know, Santa's given them all that magic, they probably can. Sherry says reindeer are better than people.
Well, I think Sherry thinks every animal is better than a human. And then she wants to hug them.
Yes.
Well, scary teeth, claws, and all. She doesn't care. We know that about you, Sherry, and that's why we still like you.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, lots of stuff, you know, and then, of course, Krampus. So everybody think about Krampus on Saturday because, you know, that's when they come out and they're crazy. And
so what do you do to avoid Krampus coming? Like, I guess you've already missed the boat, right? Because he's looking at you all year like Santa. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it says a companion of Santa's, the Krampus is a hairy goat-like demon with horns and cloven hooves who punishes the naughty children. Emerging from pre-Christian Germanic folklore, he is sort of an anti-class that carries chains, sticks, or whips to beat children with, and he may dish out coal depending on the culture. But if he's in a bad mood, he'll still stuff children in his sack or bathtub and carry them to hell for cooking. Krampus Night is typically celebrated December 5th in Europe, where people celebrate by dressing as the beast and roam the streets drinking schnapps.
Wow.
How about that? Yeah.
That sounds just like an excuse to drink out in the streets.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, that's kind of a, wow. He beats them and whatever. Beats them with chains and sticks and, you know, cooks them in hell. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, although, okay, so here's something that Cindy just sent me. She sent me a couple of things. Ghost Stories of Christmas, a chilling Victorian tradition. It has these weird old traditions.
Yeah.
For, like, kind of creepy Christmas stuff. And they did talk about Krampus here for a second, but there's this one that shows this bizarre greeting cards. It says, "May Christmas be merry." And the photo, I'll see if I can... Well, here, I'll put the link out here on the chat room for you guys here in a second. But this photo, it shows a beetle dancing with a frog with some kind of insect with a tambourine next to it. And they're dancing like on the landscape, right? It's just weird looking. And it says, "May Christmas be merry," right? And so this old tradition offers context to some of the bizarre Victorian Christmas cards. Among the dark, outlandish designs included macabre images like a murderous frog stabbing and looting a fellow amphibian,
oh my.
St. Nicholas peeping through the windows and stuffing children into his gift sack, giant waltzing insects and dead robins. A far cry from today's festive saccharin cards. I'm like, oh my god,
saccharin crowd.
I guess. Well, they are compared to this, I suppose.
Well, yeah.
And they said Victorians wanted their cards to serve as shocking conversation starters, and some of the morbidly outlandish designs were influenced by folklore customs. For example, in English myths, robins and wrens were considered sacred species. Images of dead birds might have been used to elicit Victorian sympathy and may reference common stories of poor children freezing to death at Christmas. And they said the legend of Santa Claus was much more sinister during Victoria era as well. An English legend had him paired up with the devil in a good cop, bad cop duo to figure out which children had been naughty. So they're saying which had been naughty and nice and how their fates would be carried out. The devil, sometimes guised as Krampus, kidnapped and beat disobedient children, while Santa was often depicted as Christmas cards, slinking around and spying on children through windows.
Oh.
Creeper. Huh.
Creeper.
Yeah, this is crazy. I'm going to read through some more of this stuff here, but
yeah.
Anyway, it's pretty funny. I got to email it to myself, so I have it on my computer.
Yeah, that's cool. So Rain is saying, why can't they get folklore about a disciplinary character for children that is not so torturous? Like, why can't Krampus just take their cookies and gifts away rather than beating and eating them? I agree. Well, you know, back in the old days, you know, even if you look at the old fairy tales, they're kind of sinister. You know, if you look at the old fairy tale books.
Well, they haven't been watered down like they have now. If they're not the current ones, you know, because some of them have been changed. Yeah, they were really disturbing.
Oh, yeah. Really disturbing. It's like, oh, my God. Yeah, this is crazy.
It sounds like some of this Victorian stuff, they did the same thing. They were kind of looking for some shock value.
I guess. God. That's just insane.
I know, right? Okay, so here she sent me 5 holiday ghost stories that are super creepy. And I'm going to have to read through these quick here. See if I can find one that's easy to read here on the air. How about, okay. So there's a full story, but I'll read the overview. And there, it's called Dark Christmas. And this Christmas ghost story from the author of Oranges Are Not the Only Fruit. A group of friends head to High Fallen House, a Victorian gentleman's residence for the holidays. When an old-fashioned nativity set appears in the attic, what is meant to be an idyllic trip takes a truly creepy turn. Oh, there's some creepy ghost stories here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I have time. I don't think we have time to read them all, but let me scroll and see if I can find some that are a little bit more creepy and I can maybe skim through
them.
Well,
and the holidays are always have creepy ghost stories anyway, right? Because the veil is still thin, honestly. Yeah. So there's still a lot of, I see them all the time. It's just kind of creeping me out. Actually, it's to the point now where I'm just like, oh, there's another one. Okay, let's move on now. You know, it's just they're everywhere.
Well, and I think too, because of the holidays and people getting together and family and celebrating, if you do that, I mean, not everybody does that, but if you do, or it's been in your tradition, or you didn't celebrate with family and you died and you really wished maybe things would have been different or whatever, I can see where, you know, relatives are coming around and, you know, people that have passed on come back to check in on folks or visit or whatever. And, you know, one of the things that we used to tell people in our paranormal group is going back through holiday photos, however long ago you want to look, however long you have them, I suppose, and look for orbs and things in your photos. And yes, some of them might be from holiday lights and some of them might be camera glare and some of them might be from lighting in the house or whatever. But it's interesting sometimes to see where some of them land, you know, some of these orbs or funny, you know, light anomalies. Because you kind of wonder, is it a light anomaly or could it be some kind of manifestation? Mm-hmm. So it's something interesting to look at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll have to look at her because we have some. My brother actually, you know, when I was a kid, we had those Super 8 movie cameras, you know, and so my brother actually had them all put on a CD, a DVD or whatever. So that's a good idea. I think I'm going to have to go through because there's a lot of Christmas stuff on there because that's when we mostly did it, right? Mm-hmm. So it'd be fun to watch it and see what I can find. That's a good idea. I really like that idea. That's a good way to get ready for the holidays, too.
Yeah, looking at old photos and just see if you can find any orbs or light anomalies or you know, even like faces in mirrors or window reflections, you know, and I know some of that could be, you know, matrixing and things like that, but you don't know, like you might as well look, you know, it's fun to look through them anyway.
Oh, sure. So. Oh, yeah. It's very fun, you know, and then Kat is saying, you know, we remember those who have passed at the holidays. We miss them. And maybe in a way we call them to us. Maybe, you know, maybe they hear that and they come and visit, you know. So, you know what? We're already 30 minutes past the hour. Wow, this is going super fast. So we will go to a commercial break. We will be back in 2 minutes. This is the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. For a truly unique podcast experience, we have you covered. Spirit Bayou with CJ Dunham airs live from the Third Coast in Southeast Texas on Tuesday and Fridays at midnight Eastern Time, covering Creole folklore and folk magic to strange paranormal activity to new equipment for the field. CJ Dunham is a Catholic swamp witch, a devotee to our Mother Mary in the Trinity, a true believer in our Lord, the Holy Ghost, and Christ. Peace be with your spirit and the spirits by you.
In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dark Sun Rising on the Para-X Radio Network.
Are you haunted by shadow people in the middle of the night?
Do you secretly love all things creepy and spooky, enjoying ghost stories and horror fiction from the best storytellers?
Do you have a true ghost experience you want to share, but no one will believe you?
If yes, listen to The Professionals on What Are You Afraid Of? Horror Paranormal Show, Friday nights at 9 p.m. on Para-X Radio and at www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com.
What are you afraid of on Para-X?
Our creepy and demented hosts are on call to provide you with all your spooky needs with true ghost stories, interviews, indie music, and new horror fiction. We are ready to scare you.
Para-X.
Welcome back to the Gathering Radio Show here on the Para-X Radio Network. And somehow we've migrated into talking about creepy Christmas already, so I think it's going to be one of those Decembers here. I have an article here that Cindy, who's in the chat room, sent, and it's 9 creepy Christmas characters you've never heard of. Well, I think we've heard of some of them because we were just talking about Krampus, and that's number one on this list. But the second one, I think we've talked about this before on the show, but I'm gonna, a couple of them in the past, but I'm going to revisit because this is just disturbing stuff that, you know, I think people want to keep their kids in line for a long time. We've got Elf on the Shelf now. Like, seriously, bring this stuff back, and your kids will not step out of line.
Right?
Elf on the Shelf, we got nothing on these. So this is one, Frau Perchta? I don't know if I'm saying that correctly at all. Frau Perchta. Eastern European children are familiar with the legend of Frau Perchta or Birchta. If you are a well-behaved child, you have nothing to fear. Perchta will slip into your home on the night of the Feast of the Epiphany and leave a silver coin in your shoe. But if you've been bad, watch out. Frau Birchta treats naughty children mercilessly. She slices open their stomachs, removes their internal organs, and replaces them with pebbles and straw. So it sounds like she turns them into dolls or something.
Oh, my goodness.
That's disturbing.
Yes.
Watch out for Frau. She's usually viewed as the female counterpart to Krampus, is what they're saying. And so she's known as a being who rewards the good and the kind, and those who lie or steal or are lazy or wicked will find themselves the recipient of her punishment. And then we have Gryla and the Yule Lads. I think we've talked about this before. If you're a child living in Iceland,
probably,
you've been warned about the legend of Gryla, if I'm saying that correctly.
Yeah.
This giantess who lives in the mountains comes out of her cave in the wintertime searching for naughty kids. When she finds them, she boils them up in a stew and devours them as a tasty snack.
And her kids the kids do lots of weird stuff too.
Remember? Oh yeah. She's the mother of 13 Yule lads who visit sleeping children on the 13 nights before Christmas. In some legends, the lads who have creepy names like Meat Hook and Window Peeper are just as awful as their mother and eat children too. Well, that's lovely. Mm-hmm. That's gross. Okay, Pierre Foutard. I don't know if I'm saying any of these correctly. There's my disclaimer.
Yeah.
So imagine if Santa Claus had a sidekick who traveled around with him beating those who misbehaved. Well, in France, St. Nicholas has Le Pierre Foutard, whose name literally translates to Father Whipper. Sure enough, he roams around northern France and parts of Belgium, whip in hand, to give a few lashes to kids who can't get their act together.
Oh, Father Whipper. Be careful. Yep. Them. Oof-ta.
That's a fact, Jack. Mm. So, Elf on the Shelf, stay on the shelf. Yeah. Let's bring back Father Whipper.
Oh, gosh.
And keep the kids in line, I guess.
Yeah, they might stay in line with that business, right?
Do this? Like, I bet they do, and like maybe they just joke about it, but seriously, you know, then they kind of make the kids think a little bit about it.
Yeah, sure. Way to keep them in line.
Yeah. France has another one. Here we go. Hans Trapp is a Christmas boogeyman that parents invoke to encourage good behavior amongst their offspring. This legend originates in the 15th century when he was a rich and greedy man who was said to worship Satan. Oh boy. When the Catholic Church learned what he was up to, they excommunicated him, and his neighbors ostracized the man they had once feared. Eventually, his wealth was confiscated. He fled to the forest, penniless. He lived alone on the mountains. And angry at the loss of his fortune, he descended into madness and one day attacked a young boy who wandered near his shack. He chopped the boy up and roasted him over the fire. But before he could take a bite, a bolt of lightning struck him and killed him. Since that time, he serves as a warning to bad kids. Watch out or he will eat you.
Mm-hmm. Wow, they really like to eat the kids.
Yeah,
the
I don't get that.
That's terrible. That's crazy. Oh, I don't like that. Any of that stuff.
Here's one. I don't know how to say this. I can't say any of these. Jolacaturin? I don't know. Anyway, they're saying some people hate to get clothing for Christmas, but if you get a pair of socks or a sweater as a gift, it could save you from this beast. Mm. It's the Iceland's frightening Christmas cat that will eat you if you don't finish your chores or get new clothing as a reward for your hard work. Those who are lazy will become cat food once this Christmas cat peers through your window.
Oh, my.
So you do chores or get clothing and you're off the hook from getting eaten by the Christmas cat.
Oh, well.
If it's like a big
panther. That might be good. That might be good. Yeah, I don't know. Hmm. Interesting.
Underwear for everybody this Christmas.
Yeah.
Safe and from the Christmas cat.
Yeah. Well, cat is talking about the Yule cat who was supposed to be the pet of the Iceland kids, you know, of Helga. What was her name? Helga. You know, Iceland icky witch woman that ate all the kids. Gryla. Gryla. That's what I'm thinking. Gryla.
I'm scrolling. There's like too many of them that eat children, so I'm having trouble finding which one you're talking about here.
Krampus. But I think Krampus did adults too, or was he just kids?
He's at the top of the list here.
I don't think Krampus. It was here. Oh, it does say naughty children. Okay.
This one goes into. Doesn't talk about Krampus like he talks about the rest of them. Yeah. Oh, here we go. Nope. He doesn't. They don't talk about it. I think he does, though, doesn't he? I know he stuffs them in a sack and hauls them off, so I don't know what he does with them after that.
It says that he punishes the naughty children. He beats them. Well, I don't know. It doesn't say he eats them. It says that he beats them, and then he takes them to hell for cooking. So I guess technically you could imagine that then they eat them. I don't know. But I don't like that. I don't like any of it. Karen says people were hungry. Yes, they were. So maybe that's where some of this comes through.
Yeah. I was going to say we've just been called out for cannibalism 2 weeks in a row here.
Did we talk about that last week?
Well, we had, what's her name on?
And I think Willow was on. Did we?
What's her name? Why am I not thinking
Willow.
Of Willow? Willow. And it ended up coming up because she lives in New Orleans. And I think it came up when we were talking about the different beings that are. Yeah. Oh. So there we go.
Oh. Kat's saying it comes up every Monday night on Eric's show. Really?
Oh, really? This is getting interesting now.
Kind of dark. Para X has gotten kind of dark, I guess, eh?
I think it's supposed to be dark. It's paranormal, right?
Well, that's true. And then Rain said he was doing a story last week on human steaks. Human steaks?
Yuck. Icky. Hmm?
Yeah.
Icky folks.
Yeah, I don't like that. But
we're not doing any of this. Let's be clear. We're reading about some history.
We're not doing this.
We have Elf on the Shelf for crying out loud. This is other places do this.
When you were a kid though, were you afraid of Santa?
I don't think so. I'm trying to think here. I don't recall being afraid of Santa. Maybe when I was real little, now that I'm thinking about photos, when you get the photo with Santa. I think there might have been one when I was little, like maybe 4 years old, where I didn't look thrilled to be sitting on his lap.
I was scared to death.
But after that, it was smiles and goodness. I understood what the deal was by then.
I was scared to death. And I just remember my sister Priscilla, come on, Steffi, let's just go. We'll sit with Santa. And I'm not doing it. And then there's some picture somewhere, I bet Joe has it, where I think it's Chris and I. I don't know if Joe's in there too. With Santa, and I just looked like, oh my God, terrified. Get me out of here. Yeah, get me out of here. But at least I had my brothers there. But, you know, still, it was like, oh my God. I'll have to find that. That would be a fun one to share. I'll ask Joe for it because I know he has it somewhere. He's the family picture guy, you know? Rain says he didn't like sitting on anyone's lap. Yeah, well, that's what we did, though, you know? Yeah, I didn't really care for that either. And now they're so weird. I mean, now, I don't know, do people still do that? I guess I don't really know. I guess they do. Casey never liked Santa either, sitting on Santa's lap.
Well, yeah, have you gone to the mall at Christmas? I guess this year, I don't know what they're going to do.
Well, yeah, I don't know either.
You can't take your kid to stick him on a stranger's lap anymore.
Yeah, I don't know.
Unless everybody's wearing masks and you stick... Like, Santa could be sitting on his little area, and then you stand 6 feet in front of him, so it looks like you're together, but, you know, he's right behind you. Oh, yeah. But then that maybe is disturbing, too. Or you can stand 6 feet to the side of him and get a photo, and then...
And then they can Photoshop it. Maybe they have somebody who's really good at Photoshop, and then they can just Photoshop
it. There you go. Photoshop your kid with Santa. Sitting on Santa's lap to keep everybody safe.
Yeah, I don't know, yeah.
And to avoid childhood trauma.
Or have one of the parents dress up like Santa and take a picture that way, you know, or somebody in the family that you're with all the time. And so then that can, but then the kids always know, right? The kids always know it's Santa. It's not them.
It's your dad.
Yeah, but maybe like, somebody
you're
else.
Not stupid. No. So they would know. Yeah, it's you got to be creative this year. You know, COVID, you just tell the kids, hey, Santa's got to stay safe too so we can get around. Can't go see Santa because we got to stay safe.
Yep.
Santa has to stay safe. Everybody stays safe.
Better just to take the kids outside and take a picture of them outside somewhere, you know, maybe with the dogs or something, you know.
Yes, because that's the same.
Well, I know. But or maybe, you know, they do have reindeer. They do have different places where you can go see the reindeer. But I don't.
Yeah, that's true.
I even think they're doing that this year. But so maybe they keep them, you know, 6 feet apart, and then everybody gets their chance at petting the reindeer. I don't really know how they're working it. Interesting stuff. I don't know. It's just a crazy year all the way around. So who knows? But nothing like casting your child into the lap of some weirdo. Yeah, trauma much. It's true.
That's the thing. Like, I think of that. I do have one photo. I think I was 4, and I was like, what? Because kids are afraid of strangers anyway. And then you have this big hairy dude dressed in red.
Right.
And he's looking at you like, come here and sit in my lap. It's like, everybody on the planet, mom and dad, you told me, do not approach strangers.
Right.
Do not go up to them. And now you're forcing me on this one. I don't know him. You know, when you're little, I think some kids eventually they get over it because they're like, oh, it's Santa. That's different.
Mm-hmm.
But then would they do it when you're out and about? Like you just walking down the street and you see Santa and you go, well, mom and dad said Santa's okay. And it's really a creeper at that point.
Well, yeah. Like,
you could be in big trouble.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know how you do that. So Pacers is saying that a mall there has Santa, but not sure how they're doing it with the social distancing. Yeah, I don't know. Interesting.
We'll have to have a Santa scope.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're going to scope this out.
Well, because most people don't even go to the malls anymore. I mean, you know, I mean.
Are they even open? I don't know.
I don't even know either.
I would assume so, because at least here in Minnesota, restaurants are closed right now for in the dining in, but retail and everything is still open. Everybody has to stay safe and apart, but.
Yeah.
So I'd assume the malls are open. I don't ever go to malls anymore, so I don't know.
No, I don't either. I mean, I go to stores, but I don't go to malls. But I have never really liked the malls anyway. I don't like shopping. You know, if I'm going to go shopping, I just want to go to one or two stores and be done with it, you know?
Yeah. I find myself doing a lot of, buying a lot of upcycled, you know, repurposed and whatnot. So, and going to, like consignment and stuff like that. So, and antique stores. So I don't go to a lot of, other than like grocery stores and things like that. But anyway, yeah.
Yep. Nope. I agree. And I think you can find a lot of really cool stuff like on Facebook Marketplace or Nextdoor Marketplace. I mean, there's a lot of places that you can find some really good stuff, you know, that's used. So why not?
Cindy just sent me a link. She said, it's called A Very COVID Christmas.
Oh.
Mall Santas will see kids behind acrylic. Oh, this ad just covered up my thing.
Acrylic walls?
Snow globe. They're going to sit in a snow globe.
Oh. Well, that's cool.
An ad covered up the title, so I'm like trying to see. Oh, there it is. Mall Santas will see kids from behind acrylic glass snow globes. So Santa's going to sit in a snow globe, and then all the kids are just going to come up and touch the glass and then get COVID that way instead. Perfect. Santa's safe, but your kids are going to get COVID. No, yeah. They probably have someone saying, don't touch the glass.
Oh,
or wear your mask.
Or maybe they have someone cleaning it after every kid. You know what I mean? That's what they do a lot.
Oh, and then some are doing Zoom calls with Santa.
Oh, Zoom.
I saw that they were doing that with the Holidazzle Parade, weren't they? They were doing a Zoom thing or something.
I did hear something about that. I didn't pay attention, but yeah, it was something they were talking about on WCCO one day, and I don't remember what they said. But, no licking the window. No kidding.
Don't lick the snow globes.
Well, yeah, Rain says the same thing. Does someone clean the glass after each meeting? That's what I'm thinking, you know, because even when you go into stores now, they're always wiping down the things that we use our cards in, you know, the card reader things, so that there's no germs and stuff. So I would imagine they would have to do that minimally, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Or just have the stanchions, you know, he's in a snow globe behind the stanchion, so you can't even touch the snow globe.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Santa in the snow globe. Can we shake it? Yeah, maybe. Wouldn't that be cool? Just, you know. I'm going to buy a dress for Bullhead for Christmas, so I hope to have that by next week so I can show you.
Dress?
Yeah. Well, because she's got this one on. See, I'm keeping her by my desk now because I think it's crazy. But she's in one of Casey's old dresses that's too big. And I know I said to Priscilla, I think I have to get her a onesie or some kind of Christmas dress. Casey had a red velvet dress when she was really little. But I still think it might be too big for this one. So I'm going to just have to go buy her something. It'd be fun. Why not? She's sitting here now. She's part of the gathering. She's at my desk. So it's all good. Bullhead's part.
Nice.
She
does look, she looks, she looks constipated, frankly. The face, I'm like, what is that face on a doll?
She looks, oh my God, I just think it's so hysterical because my niece, she has the Langer nose, you know, she really does. And my niece, Mara, my brother and sister-in-law used to always say she was the Bullhead, right? So that's where she got her name, was because her doll was named Bullhead. And then when Casey got this one, we thought she looked so much like Mara. We said, oh my God, this is Bullhead. Okay, whatever. It's a family joke. I'm sure Mara wouldn't think it was very funny.
Well, no, but probably not. That doll doesn't look very good, so.
No, well, you know, she's a little Bullhead. Whatever. So we'll get her dressed up for Christmas. Maybe I'll go to Walmart or something and find her a cute little outfit to wear. But anyhow, that's Bullhead. She's sitting here looking at me. So, what a crazy thing.
I'm just curious if there's anybody, we've got a few minutes left here, if anybody has had any kind of a paranormal experience around the holidays that they think might have been a family member or, you know, something. My mom actually has told me a couple of times about my grandma coming to visit her, my mom's mom.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I told the story. This is weird. So my mom, she sews. I sew, right? My mom taught me to sew. Her mom taught her to sew. Mm-hmm. And so we all sew in the family, right? And my mom had these pants that she decided she was going to alter. And she altered them. And then she realized, and they were like her favorite pants, right? I don't know what the deal was, but she altered them. And then she did not like the way they were after she altered them. But it was the kind of fabric that you can't take out what you did because you'll see it. It wrecks the fabric. So once it's done, it's done. This is the kind of fabric it was. And so she told me, she said, so here's the deal. So I put them in the closet and I didn't wear them for a long time because I didn't like them anymore.
Yeah.
And I felt bad because I didn't want to give them away because they were my favorite pants. She said, but then one day I went to get them out of there and thought I just can't hang on to these. And they were right up front. You know, she'd look at them and she took them out. She was going to donate them. And then she noticed, she's like, well, that's weird. They don't look altered anymore. And they weren't.
Oh.
They were back to the way they were.
Oh, how'd that happen?
I don't know. She doesn't know. She thinks my grandma did something, like to fix them.
Well.
Like use magic or something.
Could. I mean, you know, as paranormal peeps, we've heard of weird things happening, you know.
Right.
It could be very well. But, you know, I think we have a lot of visitors. I mean, remember when we did that seance that was wasn't it at Thanksgiving time? It
probably.
Was Thanksgiving week.
We've done
week.
Quite a few of them.
And my dad showed up, remember? And he said,
mm-hmm.
I cried because he said if I could just have one more hug. And then I felt him hug me, you know. That was the coolest thing. You know, and I haven't seen my dad lately, so I really wish he'd come and see me because I kind of miss him. For a while, he was coming quite often, but, you know, he must think I'm okay or something.
Well, they have other things to do, too.
They do, for sure. But Dad, you know, come see me, honey. I'm here.
Well, if he's not busy, don't make
him jump through hoops. You're not busy, come see me. But yeah, so if anybody has any cool stories, you know, do let us know. Because even during the course of this month, you know, because we'll have time to talk about them all.
Yeah, we could even talk about them at the beginning of each show this month. Any kind of, any stories that you have about anything interesting or paranormal that happened around the holidays, whether it's something you can explain, something you can't, loved one, if it's Krampus, I mean, Christmas creepers, I don't know, whatever, just... Yeah, get them over to us or tell us in the beginning of the show and we can quick talk about them before we jump into our topic because it would be interesting to hear from you guys about
absolutely.
Your stuff.
I think it might be kind of just a fun thing to do overall. We can just talk a little bit about Christmas craziness for a couple of minutes on each show. You know what I mean? Or holiday.
Or whatever holiday you do celebrate.
Because you might be celebrate Yule and Yule's a good one to celebrate too or Kwanzaa or there's a lot of them right now, you know?
Yeah.
So,
share your stuff with us if you choose.
And if you don't want to, send us a note on Facebook or send us something in the chat room or there's lots of different ways to get a hold of us. So,
Most of you know us personally anyway. Mm-hmm. If you're in the chat room, I mean, you know us and you know how to get a hold of us anyway.
Yep.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So that would be fun because we've got a whole month of festivities.
Yeah, because today's only the first. This is the first time our paranormal smorgasbord has been on the first. Yeah. So it's kind of fun. We have the whole
It is, isn't it? The first
it
month.
Is. Weird. It's crazy. December 1st. So I'm going to take this opportunity because I'm thinking about it to, you know, remind people of the Calling Radio Show tomorrow night at 7:00 Central Standard Time on this channel. And I think Jerry's taking a break tomorrow night. And so it's just going to be Willow and Kim. And they're going to discuss psychic gifts. So that should be a good one as well. Yeah.
Ladies are taking over for the week.
Ladies are taking over. Yeah. It's always fun.
Love it.
So there's that. And wow, there's just so much going on.
I'm excited for upcoming shows. Should we tell people about them?
Yeah, we should. We should. Oh, look. Here's Zoe. Can you hear Zoe? Oh, maybe she'll be the new gathering kitty. Come here, Zuzu.
Gosh, one can only hope.
Well, Yeah, remember how loud Bobo used to be? Oh, my goodness.
Yes, I cannot forget, ever.
So next week, we're going to talk about paranormal Great Lakes stories, right?
Yes. We had that come up in a paranormal smorgasbord, I don't know if it was last month or the month before. Mm-hmm. And we decided to do a show on it, and then we had all these guests and everything, so we had to bump it. But yeah, we wanted to talk about paranormal Great Lakes and mm-hmm. all the haunted goodness that comes from the, you know, sizable lakes in our northern northern states here.
Yeah.
So, and we found a lot, so I think it should be a pretty interesting show. And there's people that live around here. I mean, there's people in Michigan and Wisconsin mm-hmm. and Minnesota that we listen to the show, in Canada that, you know, and probably even out east that are around some of the Great Lakes. So maybe if you live around the Great Lakes, you might have some personal stories yourself. Yeah. So you can jump in the chat room. I don't know. That's a fancy chat.
Sure.
Join us in the chat room and share your stories through the chat room. We can share them on the air then too. So
yeah. And I think we'll also talk about the lakes themselves and the spirits of the lakes. And they are very different. All of those lakes are very different. So,
different
you know, we'll talk. Yeah. And we'll talk about, you know, like the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald and all kinds of stuff like that. So I think it'll be a really good show. And then the following week, Heidi, what are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about stone circles. And primarily, we're going to look at stone circles here in the U.S. But because obviously they're much more famous in Europe. England would be the most famous, I would believe, Stonehenge. But we're going to look at stone circles throughout the U.S. and elsewhere. You know, we're going to do some research on that because they are in quite a few countries. And I just don't think they're as well known, or if they haven't been excavated or, you know, researched. Like when I went to Central America, we went and toured a bunch of different unexcavated Mayan ruins, and there's so many. You wouldn't even know you're walking on them. They just look like hills. They just haven't been excavated yet. So you kind of wonder, here, are there, you know, stone circles here that just we don't even know about, or that people are just discovering? And then, you know, we'll kind of expand it from there. So we thought that was a cool topic, and so we wanted to hit that this
for
year
sure.
before we wrap up. Oh, crop circles. Pacers is saying crop circles. Yeah, we could do that next month probably, because I think we're going to run out of weeks this month.
Yeah, well, yeah, because we have something going on every week this week, or every week this month.
Yeah, crop circles, that's good. We should do that next month.
We should, for sure.
And thanks, Pacers.
Yeah, that'll be fun, yeah. And then, you know, there's that stone circle that's in Lake Michigan, too. So we'll have to do a little bit of research on that one. But, yeah, so there's just a lot of really cool stuff. And I don't know if any of you out there, so this is on a totally different subject, kind of, sort of, but, you know, I love the show about Oak Island, right? So the brothers have created this new show called Beyond Oak Island. And so they're going to different treasures, like, you know, like Jesse James. There's reported, you know, Jesse James treasure trove somewhere. And last week they were in Utah trying to find Butch Cassidy's treasure trove. So it's a fabulous show.
Cool.
I mean, it's just, who knew,
I haven't
right?
watched it.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good. So anyway, that's another, and then Oak Island. Wow, that's a whole, wouldn't it be fun to get one of those people on our show and talk about Oak Island?
Yeah.
I mean, that Oak Island is craziness, you know? Anyway, I'll have to see what we can do about that. I mean, I don't know who we'd get on. I don't think the brothers Lugino would come on, but, you know, maybe we could get one of the other guys on. That would be so fun, actually, you know? To work on that. Because there's a lot of supernatural stuff out there, too. So, anyhow. Well, Heidi, I think we're almost, we have just a couple of minutes left. So is there anything, there's Kat's saying they're waiting to hear they've drilled so much Oak Island has sunken. Well, yeah, but you know, it's just everything they do, they come up with more questions than answers, right? So it's not even, like they said, it's not even about the treasure anymore. It's just, there's
like,
so much hidden there. What was going on? And there's so much that they've discovered, and you know, the... You know, they think that the Knights of the Templar was there, and maybe, you know, they're thinking maybe even the Ark of the Covenant is hidden there. You know, I mean, who knows? I mean, it's just unknown, but it's just the unraveling of all of these crazy things that happen that's just so fascinating, I think. And that's what they say, too. So, anyway.
Yeah, definitely interesting.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I find that stuff interesting, just history in general. But,
me, too. Me, too. Absolutely. So,
you know, we should, I wonder, Pacers is saying something about the Mayans, and I wonder if we should try and do a show about the pyramids and the Mayan ruins down there. They're really fascinating. I've been to a handful of them, and it's really, really cool. The energy there, it's super cool.
Crazy.
So yeah, maybe we'll do another show on that too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, here we go. The music's on. It's time to go. So thanks, everyone, for listening. If the troops are out there, stay safe. We thank you for your service, and hopefully you'll be back next week.
Yes, and thank you, Para X, for hosting us, everybody in the chat room, and everybody out there listening. Thank you so much for tuning in. And Sarge, our most amazing producer, thank you once again for all you do. And we look forward to seeing you all next week. Take care, everybody.
Good night, everyone.